2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. I forget if it's the Phillips translation, maybe, or maybe it's the Weiss translation, but I like that. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Well, last week down in Florida, an elementary school teacher took her class on a field trip to a gay bar. And that's just one of about 25 stories I could tell you just from last week. And you're probably up on the news just like I am. But don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Praise God. Because if you can't recognize that commercials and TV show after TV show after TV show after TV show is trying to conform your mind and change your way of thinking, I'm sure you're very aware of that. Yes. Amen. Well, don't let that happen to you. Praise God. Can you say amen? Well, who knows what today is? Hallelujah Day. Today's a lot of things. Hallelujah Day's right. Glory to God. All of that looks wonderful in the gym. Thanks for everybody that helped on that. And it'll look even more wonderful when the stuff gets all blown up. That's, you know, it's not blown up now. What else is today? Huh?
Well, this is the day the Lord has made.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That's what I had in mind. Amen. What else is today? That's correct. It's the fifth game of the World Series. And the Braves are up 3-1. You should know that something else is today. It's Nick Saban's birthday. Alabama fans right there. If you don't care, say, I don't care.
I don't care.
Tennessee fans, I'm for you, man. I'm for you. I'm glad it's Nick Saban's birthday. 70 years old. What else is today? It's Sunday. But I like what you said. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Remember the song we used to sing? This is the day that the Lord has. Some of you. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. All right, give yourselves a big hand. Praise God. Interesting, when that scripture says this is the day, it didn't mean like Sunday. It didn't mean Monday. It didn't mean Tuesday. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. And that's the way most people sing it. But this is the day, it means, you know, like you say, back in Grandpa's day. In other words, during that period of time, during that age, this is the day of the church, the day of grace, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we're born again, hallelujah, and made right with God through the redemptive plan of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen, hallelujah. So we are glad and we will rejoice. Glory to God. Let's begin this morning again in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 13, 5. This is part 4. Of my single message, I started part 4 called Examine Yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. Glory to God. We are so glad that you are with us online. As always, praise God. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. By the faith there, he means the Christian faith. You know, the doctrines and beliefs and so forth of a Christian. Examine yourselves, talking to Christians, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Well, as we pointed out in previous parts of this series, God, through Paul, is telling us as Christians to examine ourselves to see if we are truly operating in line with the Christian faith. Not faith as believing God here, but in the Christian faith. Like somebody says, I'm of the Jewish faith or the Baptist faith. Well, you know, a particular faith has a certain set of standards and rules and doctrines and beliefs. And he says, test. And see, Paul really is saying, hey, quit examining me, quit testing me, because they've been challenging him, some of them, and challenging his authority and his apostleship. And he said, examine yourselves. Check on yourself. See if you're really walking in line with the way a Christian ought to walk in line. Are you really believing like a Christian ought to believe? Do you really have the attitudes of a Christian? Do you really think like a Christian should live? And of course, in doing this, somebody could discover that they are not a Christian at all. That's a part of this. But mainly, Paul is telling us to test and examine ourselves to see if we are living as a Christian should live. And if not, and we haven't pointed this out as much yet, but if not, this is very important. If not, then we should correct ourselves so that we can be pleasing to God, so that we can be a blessing to others, and so that we can be blessed ourselves. And you know, it's not a matter of condemnation and guilt. There's so much false guilt and condemnation in the body of Christ, and the devil is always right there ready to, you know, you just read a scripture like this, and some people immediately think, oh, that's right, I'm just no good. I'm just so unworthy. I just don't measure up. No, you know, praise God, Jesus made us worthy. Jesus made us righteous. If we're missing it, if we've sinned and made a mistake, we just need to repent and get back right with God. But a lot of times it's not even a matter of a sin per se. It's just we're doing something. We're not operating in, we're not thinking the way a Christian should think. And because we don't think in line with the way a Christian should think, then we won't get, you know, Christian results. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of making a correction in a certain area of our life. Amen. And by the way, this is far from the only time the Bible talks in these terms of examine yourself or test yourselves. Psalm 119, 59 says, I thought about my ways. What's he doing? He's examining himself. He's testing himself. He's considering himself. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your being God. The psalmist said, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Testimonies there means to your precepts, to your ways, to your instructions. In other words, I may be thinking this is the way I ought to train my children. I may be thinking this is the way a husband ought to act. But then I turned I considered my ways and I found out that my ways aren't in line with the Word of God. So forget my ways and go with God's ways. That's what he's saying. Amen. Lamentations 3:4 said, let us test. This is the Amplified Bible. Let us test, Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways and let us return to the Lord. If our ways aren't in line with the Lord's ways, about our finances, about our mind, about our jobs, about our relationships, about our some attitude that we have, our motives, whatever it is, let us test and examine our ways. And if our ways aren't in line with God's ways, then it says, let us return to the Lord. I like this. This is Ezekiel 18. You can read the whole chapter. But Ezekiel 18:28 says, because a person considers... Again, you're going to think about it. You're going to examine your way. You're going to examine your life, test your life, and turns away from transgressions, he shall not die. Now, you have to understand something about the Bible. The Bible talks about living and dying a lot. And it's not always just talking about breathing versus not breathing, you know, existing, you know, being alive physically or being dead physically. When the Bible talks about living, a lot of times it's referring to, are you really alive? Are you flourishing? Are you thriving? Are you blessed? Are you experiencing the goodness of God versus death in the sense of are you troubled and miserable and not thriving and not blessed and you know, experiencing a lot of things that God never intended for you to experience. Matter of fact, in this passage, it goes on to say in verse number 30, repent and turn from your transgressions so that your iniquity will not be your ruin. Well, if we're not operating in line with God's ways, then it can cause ruin. Amen. Verse 32 says, God says, turn and live. That's his desire for us. Turn and really live. Turn and live. I have no pleasure in the death of those who die and don't live. So examine yourselves. Again, we're just looking at different scriptures to point this out. Repent if necessary, and you will live and not die. How many of you know that Psalms 118, 17 says, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord? That's a very famous scripture in our circle. Somebody's sick, you know, and the doctor says, you don't have long to live. And they say, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's a good scripture, isn't it? I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And you can apply that to the situation. But if you read it, the next verse says that the reason he's going to live is because he was chastened and he corrected himself. And so, but sometimes to live and thrive and win and be blessed and be happy and fulfilled and not be defeated and ruined and flounder and struggle and yes, even physically die, we have to examine ourselves, repent if necessary, or just change our ways. Sometimes it's not a sin. You just have to change the way you're doing things. You have to think differently. You have to believe differently. You have to behave differently. Glory to God. Amen. may not have anything to do with sin or wrong. You're just thinking wrong, just believing wrong. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Everybody say that's a good thing. You ever been upside down, twisted back when you know when it comes to all when you're going to untighten a screw, a wrench, not a wrench, going to untighten a bolt, a nut, you know, righty tighty, lefty loosey. How many of you, we all know that? But as a man, have you ever been confused? And you were trying to tighten it, but you were actually tightening it. That's aggravating, isn't it? Well, it's never going to work until you change. You're not sinning, but it's never going to work until you change. And so there are some things in life that are not a matter of sin, but they're never going to work in your family, in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, until you make some changes. And then Haggai 1. When's the last time you read in Haggai? God told His people to stop and consider their ways. Now, if you read that in context, read the whole story, the children of Israel have been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. God sends them back, and the first thing God tells them to do is rebuild the temple. So they started rebuilding the temple. Now, that took money, that took time, that took effort, that took work. In other words, that's how He wants them to build His kingdom at that time, to physically rebuild the temple. They have to give money to that. They had to go down there and work. They had to go down there and serve. They started with great enthusiasm for a few months, and then they quit, and they forgot all about God's temple, and they went back to building their houses. And so God says, consider your ways. He says, you're not doing good financially. I'm going to paraphrase this, but He says, you're not doing good financially. He said, your crops aren't making a whole lot of, you're not making good crops in the first place. And what money you do get, you put it in your pants, and it's like you got holes in your pockets. In other words, you're not doing good financially. You don't ever have enough. God says, consider your ways. And He says, is it time for you to build your house when my house lies in waste? Amen. So if you read that, you'll discover that they are not doing well financially is because they didn't support God's work, rebuilding the temple, but it was God's work. And God says, He says to them in Haggai 2:19, because they listened to God, they examined their ways, they considered their ways, and they started to rebuild the temple. And God says, from this day forward, the very day you started to work on the temple again, from this day forward, even though your seed is still in the, they're an agricultural society. Even though their seed is in the barn, you haven't even planted anything yet. But from this day forward, glory to God, from the day that you considered your ways and changed and started to support my work and do my business and put me first, from this day on, I will bless you. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us, when we take communion, it says, examine yourselves. Literally, specifically in the King James Bible, it says, examine yourselves. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make sure we're partaking of in a worthily manner and make sure that you discern the Lord's body. That is, examine yourselves and make sure that you discern that the Lord's body is one and that you ought to walk in love toward all the members of the body of Christ, not have anything against anybody, glory to God, and not mistreat anybody in the body of Christ. And number two, you need to make sure that you are by faith receiving all that the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ provided for you. You see, His physical body was broken for our physical well-being and healing and sustenance. And so He says you are to appropriate the benefits of that by faith as you examine yourselves and discern the Lord's body. And God says, for this reason, because people aren't walking in love with people and because people, aren't appropriating by faith what Jesus did for them on the cross, for this very reason, some people have died. A lot of people are weak, sickly, physically, and many have died prematurely. But then He goes on to say, here it is, examine yourselves. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Well, to judge yourself, you have to what? You have to examine yourself. You have to test yourself. You have to consider your ways. And in doing so, if we're wrong, if we're missing it in some way, then just simply acknowledge it and repent. That's judging yourself. And if we do that, it says, then you won't be judged. That's good news. That's not bad news. If we would judge ourselves, we won't be judged. Again, we're just simply saying, when Paul said, examine yourselves in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we find that throughout the scriptures. See, we're talking about how that when Paul told us to examine ourselves to see if we're living and believing and acting and thinking and behaving in line with our Christian faith, that's far from the only place the Bible tells us to do this. And we do it for the purpose of repenting, for making corrections, so that we can get in line with God and His Word and His way and His program, so that we will be blessed, so that we will be useful in God's kingdom, so that we will not be troubled and judged and defeated and unfruitful in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Here's another one, Galatians 6:4. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The Amplified Bible says, carefully scrutinize and examine and test your own conduct, your own actions, your own attitudes. And in conduct text, this verse is talking about, you know, somebody has sinned and you're going to restore them. He said, listen, even though they've missed it in sin, you're not to be judgmental. You're not to be self-righteous. You're not to compare yourself to others. You're not to think that you're superior to them, but rather examine your own heart and your own motives. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. So we see this throughout the Word of God. Now, we left off. You understand, if the Word of God tells me to submit to somebody in authority, and I read that scripture and I go, ooh, I don't submit to them. I'm very unsubmissive. Then you ought to examine yourself and change and get in line with the Word. Whatever it is. See, test yourself. If the Word of God says, you know, whatever, examine yourself. We left off, though, talking about the ways to examine ourselves in order to determine if our faith is real. We're to examine ourselves as to whether we are operating in line with Christian principles, the faith, but a part of operating in line with Christian principles would be to examine ourselves to see if what we call faith really is faith. Amen. Are we really believing God's Word and promises? Is what we call faith really Bible faith? And we said, number one, to examine your faith, ask yourself, is what I believe based on and rooted in a rhema word from God? Is what I believe based on and rooted in a rhema word of God? Romans 10:17, faith cometh. Notice it comes. I said, notice it comes. Faith comes. How does it come? It only comes one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The word there is rhema. Faith comes by hearing the rhema word of God, or a rhema word of God. In other words, we get faith when some word of God, some promise of God is made alive and real to us in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't happen just because you hear somebody preach on a promise. That doesn't happen just because you read it once or twice. No, but when you see it for yourself, when it comes alive in your spirit, the entrance of His Word, the Bible says, gives light. When you get light, when you get a revelation of that Word, when you really see it and it explodes in your heart as a divine revelation, that's when faith comes. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And so when you truly, really believe it because you saw it for yourself, then you become fully persuaded that it's the truth. You become fully convinced of it, regardless of what natural symptoms say, regardless of your feelings, regardless of your circumstances. That's when you really believe. See, calling something faith doesn't mean that it is faith. Are you following me? I mean, you can call a donkey a racehorse, but that doesn't make it so. Amen? And a lot of the church world, this is the way they define faith. They define faith as praying. I just prayed and left it in the hands of God. In other words, see, I'm trusting God for the results. Well, that sounds good, but that's not faith as in we walk by faith and not by sight and all things are possible to him that believe. No, you're just putting all the responsibility over on God. You're saying, I don't know what His will is. You're saying, I don't know what He's going to do or not do. I'm just trusting Him. You see? Now, there is a place for that prayer. But that is not the prayer of faith. That is not believing the promises of God. For instance, I recently heard about a lady that had she was a young girl. She was taken off. When she was just 14 or 15 years old, there was a gang and the police were moving in, about to arrest them all. And they thought she'd turn them in, so they just took her. And she had been gone some 24 years. Think about that. And everybody in the whole community just assumed she was dead. That was the common consensus. She's dead. Well, you know, 24 years later, a little church at their prayer group, because the pastor was talking about, you know, God can reveal things to us. They said, well, God knows whether she's alive or dead. Let's just pray about this. And so they prayed about it and said, Lord, if she's still alive, you know, reveal that to us. And may she come back to her. They're taking care of things over there to get it. May she come back to us. And so, you know, actually through tongues and interpretation. Now think about the power of God. Through tongues and interpretation, a lady said you will hear from her within 30 days. She's still alive. She's been held at such and such a place, and she'll get back in touch with her parents. And so a couple of the deacons got with the pastor, you know, and said, why don't you do something about that? He said, what do you mean do something about that? He said, well, you know she's dead. He goes, no, I don't know she's dead. He said, I wasn't even here 24 years ago. I just been here 3 years ago. He said, do you know she's dead? And they said, well, we don't know, but I mean, just everybody figures she's dead and you need to put a stop to that. He goes, well, why would I do that? We'll know whether they're right or not in 30 days. He said, and if they're not, and if they're right and we get up and say something about it, then everybody will know how unspiritual you are. They said, oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe we shouldn't say anything. Well, sure enough, in 30 days, they got a letter. And this lady came back to town and saw her parents and told what happened to her and the whole story. Well, somebody else says, well, I want to do that about my situation. Well, in a situation like that, you don't have a direct word of God to stand on. That would be a situation where you say, Lord, you know, there's lots of things in life where we don't know the exact will of God. And so we say, Lord, thy will be done. And we leave it in the hands of God. You understand what I'm saying? See, you couldn't automatically, well, I'm just going to pray about that watch I lost 27 years ago. Well, you know, have at it. But that thing may be long gone. Amen. You understand? Just leave it in the hands of God. But that's not the prayer of faith. I'll just turn it over in the hands of God. We just trust Him for the outcome. Amen. Like I said, I'm just trying to get across to you. There is a place for that in a certain condition, but that is not faith as in asking God for something in faith. Real Bible faith knows God's will, is fully confident of God's will before it ever prays, and it prays and believes that God hears and answers its request according to the Word of God and according to Mark 11:24. You believe. So you have to know that to operate in real faith. So just because someone calls something faith doesn't make it faith at all. And just because people mentally agree with some promise, people can say, I know the Bible says that with all my heart. I know the Bible says it. But just because the Bible says it doesn't mean that you have a revelation of it in your heart. And that's what confuses people. John Wesley called that mental assent. And he says it sounds so good and is so close to real Bible faith that most people don't know the difference. Amen. No, it has to come alive and read on the inside of you. So just because people mentally agree with some promise with all their heart doesn't mean they're operating in faith. Those that just agree with the Bible, see, won't talk like it's true or act like it's true or stand on it, especially when the pressure is on. Except there's this one caveat that we have to deal with in our circles, except that in our circles where faith has been taught strong and hard for over 50 years, some people will talk like it's true and act like it's true and stand on some promise thinking they're operating in faith because they've been told that's what real faith does. So that becomes tricky. In other words, you're just imitating people, parroting people, copying people, which leads me into another way to test and see if what you call faith in your life is real faith and goes perfectly along with all these scriptures. That's why I gave them this morning about all the ones that tell us to examine ourselves to see if you're missing it in some way. And then you can make then the why? If you see that you're missing it, is this so that you can beat yourself up and condemn yourself? No. So that you can make changes. Glory to God. Repent if necessary. Change the way you've been doing things or the way you've been thinking. You know, it's a very popular saying today, but it actually comes originally from Albert Einstein. You know, and it's this, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get different results. Did you know that came from Albert Einstein? That's who he's credited to. Amen. Do the same thing over and over again. Amen. Just listen, God never changes. Can you say amen? His word is true. Can you say amen? Prayers based on the promises of God are based on the word of God work. Now, sometimes people pray prayers and they don't work, but they weren't based on the truth of God's word. They weren't based on the principles of God's word. They weren't based on the promises of God's word. But prayer based on the word works. Faith works. So if my prayers of faith are not working, then I need to change, because God never changes. Amen? I mean, if He's always... Bless her heart, I was talking to my mother the other day, you know, because she won't hear this. I mean, you know, my brother's a Gator fan, and Georgia and Florida played yesterday, and she... Not that interested, but she said, well, I'll turn on the Braves. I tell her week after week what channel comes. Well, they don't come on my channels. I mean, I turned it up. Mama, they're coming on this channel. They're coming on that channel. I don't know what that is with your particular. I think she has, not direct, the other one. Huh?
Dish.
I think she has Dish. I said, but it's going to be on your, it's going to be on CBS, and the other game's going to be on Fox. Well, I turned it there, and it don't come on. And so I just, after several weeks of this, I finally just told her, I said, well, Mama, it works for everybody else in the world. I don't know why it doesn't come on your TV. Yours is the only TV in the whole world where those things don't come on. You have to know her. So you know, in other words, God changes. His word is true. His promises are true. All things being equal, faith works, prayer works. So if my prayers and faith are not working, then I'm the one that needs to be changing, because God never changes. Can you say amen? So a second way to test and see if your faith is real is, very simply, do you get results? Faith works. Everybody say faith works.
Faith works.
So do you get results? Sometimes people who are just agreeing with the word but not really believing it will talk right and make faith confessions and act like they believe, but they're just imitating what real Bible faith does. So somebody says, "How do I know the difference? How do I know the difference between real Bible faith and just agreeing with the Word of God? How do I know the difference? Because I'm acting like it's true and I'm talking like it's true. How do I know the difference? It's simple. Faith works. Faith gets results. Faith moves mountains. Faith obtains the promises. And if it's not working, then it's not faith." Amen. So do you really believe? Faith works. Now, you understand this, because people don't. You can't make it work for somebody else necessarily. They have to, you know, if you can get them to agree with you, you can make it work for them. But I can't make my faith work for Margaret. She can't make my faith work for her faith work for me. I wish she could. I wouldn't do anything. I'd be a spiritual slob. I'd let her think for me. I'd let her believe for me. And I'd just enjoy life. I can't make my faith work for you. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive, and you shall have. Now, I can pray for you under the anointing of the Spirit of God. That's a different thing. I can pray for you in faith, and if you'll agree with me and not stop my faith, and vice versa, then it'll work. But I cannot automatically make it work for somebody else. So we understand that. But real faith always gets results. And of course, you understand, or need to understand, manifestations are not always instantaneous. We believe when we believe we receive when we pray, not when we feel better. Faith is you believe God heard and answered your prayer. Faith, you believe you got it. You're not saying you have it, but you believe you got it. Amen. In other words, you believe you receive. The manifestation may be 1 second later, it may be 1 week later, it may be 1 month later, but you believe you got it. Glory to God. And you believe now. You don't wait to see something. If you're waiting to see something, waiting to feel something, then you're not operating in real Bible faith. And that's where a lot of people miss it. We believe we receive when we pray, not when we see something or feel something later. But when we get in faith and stay in faith, it always manifests. We always get the desired results sooner or later. It will manifest in the natural. But yes, there are times you have to stand in faith. The Bible says through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Patience there doesn't mean you just put up. You know, we're to be patient with one another in the sense that we just put up with each other no matter how they're acting. We love them anyway. That's being patient. That's not what it means, this word patience. Through faith and patience. Patience there means perseverance. Faith and patience. Faith means through faith and patience. That means you don't quit believing. Actually, the word patience there means even if you're under severe pressure and test and trial, you don't give up and quit believing the truth of God's word. You don't give up and quit on believing that promise. So through faith and perseverance that refuses to quit, we inherit the promises. Well, why would you have to persevere? Because it doesn't always look like it's working. It doesn't always seem like it's working. It doesn't always feel like it's working. So through faith and patience, we overcome the promises. So yes, there are times we stand in faith. But listen, I'm going to close this with this. This is what the whole message was around right in here. If we are really in faith, we're resting. We're full of confident expectation. We're excited. This is so important. We're not waiting for anything to happen to excite us. We're not waiting for a good doctor's report. We're confident. Now, that doesn't mean that thoughts of doubt and fear and unbelief won't attack your life, your mind. But even though thoughts may come of doubt and fear and attack your mind, still you're confident, you're excited, you're at peace, you're resting, and you have an inner knowing and confidence and an inner peace. But if we're frustrated, I mean, I know that's the truth. If we're frustrated and because we're not getting results and we're not seeing results, it's because nothing has happened, it's because it's taken so long and we're not full of an inner confidence, then it's time to stop and ask, why are things not working? See, hopefully you're getting the point I'm trying to get across. Yes, there are times we stand in faith because things are not always instantaneous. There's a difference in standing in faith, amen, amen. But there's a difference in that, and we're not, no matter how long we're standing, we're not going to get results. And so that's when you have to stop and examine yourself and say, why are things not working? Amen. Because faith works, and this isn't working. They told me if I got out here and got on the Interstate 75 and I headed north, I mean, headed south, that I'd get into Chattanooga in about 20 minutes, and I've been driving down this road for about 6.5 hours. Well, it's time to stop and get new directions because you're going the wrong way. Amen? Amen. And so if something is not working, then we are missing something somewhere. And we need to stop, not to condemn ourselves, but so that we can make corrections and make adjustments and get in real Bible faith, because real Bible faith works and real Bible faith gets results. Amen? See, I'm talking to a group of people, and I know what I'm doing this morning. I'm talking to people that already know a lot of things and do a lot of things, and your faith and your prayers do work. You've seen miracles. You've gotten answers to prayer. You've seen fevers leave. You've seen mountains move. And you've gotten results. Glory to God. But don't just settle for 30% results. Now, I promise you that that's a lot better results than the average Christian gets around the world. But don't just settle for 30% results or 40% results or 50% results. Faith works every time. And if it's not working, don't just keep driving to Chattanooga. You know, 4 months later, you're still driving to Chattanooga. And it only takes 20 minutes to get there. Stop and find out why. Amen. Why? So that you can condemn yourself? No. So that you can get results. Oh. I close with this because this was important to me, you know. I mean, it could be, I was healed of cancer, but this was important to me. I'm in the Ukraine on a missions trip. One of the very first times we ever went to, Svetlana's probably watching, I think it was the first trip I went. And, you know, they're taking me to a certain kinds of churches that you need to go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Amen. And every preacher in the world every once in a while finds himself in a place where everything he's saying just bounces off the back wall, hits him back in the face, and people just, you know. So I'm in a little bit, that doesn't mean they weren't lovely people, but they didn't know who Kenneth Copeland was, but had they known who Kenneth Copeland was, they wouldn't have wanted him to preach in their church. They didn't know who Kenneth Hagin was, but had they known who Kenneth Hagin, probably, had they known, they wouldn't have wanted him preaching. So there's a little bit of that truth. But regardless of that, I can still preach under the anointing, because there's always people here, there that'll get a hold of it and make a difference in their life. And so, but I know when I get back to my room, you know, it's like the old country preacher said. He said, I don't know what the anointing is. He said, I don't rightly know what it is, but I sure know when it ain't. And it ain't in those services I've been at. I mean, there wasn't much anointing on it. There wasn't much connection with the people. There wasn't much making contact with them. You know, it wasn't relevant to them. I wasn't making connection. Bottom line, it wasn't anointed. And I knew it wasn't anointed. Well, my answer is to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start working on my notes for the next day. I mean, we didn't even have to be anywhere until 9:30, and I'm working on those notes for hours, and I'm praying and asking God for the anointing. This is important. We're spending a lot of money. We're here. We need to reach these people. We need to affect these people. I need to teach them certain truths about the Word of God, especially about faith that I know they don't know, and this is life-changing. This is miracle-working power of God. They desperately need to hear this, and anoint me. God, anoint me. God, I need the anointing. You know, I know all the scriptures, you know, they that labor in vain, lest the Lord build the church. You know, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. But it just ain't happening too good. It just ain't working too good. And you spend a lot of money to go there. And plus, we got a group of about 20 people with us at the church, and you do want to do good in front of them. And all that's going on in my mind. And I'm crying out, oh God, anoint me. Oh God, anoint me, because it hadn't been anointed. God, I need the anointing. And God spoke to my heart finally when I shut up a little bit. He said, you keep begging me for the anointing and crying out for the anointing, but you never have believed that I gave it to you. Oh, yeah. Mark 11:24. I think I heard of that scripture. I think I might have preached on that about 10,000 times. When you pray, believe you receive. I said, I see it, Lord. I see it, Lord. Praise God. I ask you to anoint me, and I believe that you do. Thank you. Praise God. Then I just got up and started out in faith. Of course, it's dry as toast to start with, but then all the difference in the world, you know, because now it was under the anointing. I was sincere. I was begging God for it. I was crying out for it, but I never did believe that I've received it. I got to thinking about that, Margaret, you know. I'm asking for something, but I'm not asking in faith, so I'm not going to get it. Just simple. I didn't believe, because the prayer of faith is you ask for something and you believe God gives it to you, and you say, thank you, it's mine. I believe I have it. So it's not going to work. It's not going to work if I have a headache, and it's not going to work if I have cancer. Prayer of faith, power of God, doesn't care whether it's a simple headache or whether it's cancer or whether it's a $1 million need that you have. It does not care in the least. But it will not work on something simple or something great unless I believe I receive. I believe I receive. And when you believe you receive, it will work on $1. It will work on $1 million. It will work on $10 million. It will work on, you know, a scratch, a hangnail, and it will work on cancer. Can you say amen? Amen. But I had to stop and examine myself and make the right connection, and then I got results. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. I was quoting that scripture, you know, Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. But man, I was trying with all my might and power. I'm going to study that much harder. I'm going to read that much longer. I'm going to pray. You know, it's a good thing to pray, but you're not praying. I'm praying for the wrong reasons. I'm praying to try to get something for God. That's not why you pray. But it did. But it simply started. See, it made all the difference in the world when I got up and preached on the anointing. Yeah, you got to step out in faith. When I stood up in faith, those same bulldog faces were staring at me that had been staring at me. And it didn't seem to be going well for 30 seconds, for 45 seconds, for the first 5 minutes. Didn't bother me in the least, because I knew that I'd received by faith the anointing of God and that it was there. And then all of a sudden, things totally drastically changed. And people got saved, and people got filled with the Spirit, and people got healed during the rest of those meetings. and people got taught the truth of God's word. Can you say amen? Amen. Say faith works.
Faith works.
Say my faith works.
My faith works.
Say there's no such thing,
as real Bible faith.
Not working. Glory to God. So if it's not working, I've done that before. I'm becoming a better and better mechanic. I got YouTube. But I learned from my son-in-law, Doug, a lot of times. I mean, sometimes you have to give something a little oomph to make it work. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? But if you're trying to force it, you better back off. You're fixing to break something. I've learned that. Oh, I see. Click. Now it works. That's what you can do with your life. That's what you can do with your faith. If it's not working, you don't beat yourself up. Back up and go, oh, little adjustment. There it is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't be like mama. I turned it to that channel. It just ain't on my TV. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're reading those scriptures, all those different scriptures, and there's more about examine yourself, look at yourself, consider your ways. When it comes to your finances, examine yourself. When it comes to your commitment to the body of Christ and the Lord's work for you, examine yourself. When it comes to your love walk, examine yourself. When it comes to your attitudes, examine yourself. When it comes to the motives of your heart, examine yourselves. Glory to God. God said, I love it. He said, I take no pleasure in people dying. I take no pleasure in people not just physically dying. I take no pleasure in people's lives being ruined and the things being messed up. I take no pleasure in that. He said, get in line with me. Do what I want you to do and live, really live. Flourish, thrive, be blessed, be fruitful. Enjoy life. Life is good. Can you say amen? So I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but just to do a little self-examination. It's never wrong. Never wrong. Glory to God. Make any adjustments you need to make. And then I encourage you when it comes to your faith walk. Glory to God. I know you know something about faith. I know you know a lot about faith. But don't settle for 20% results. Don't settle for 30% results. Not when you can get 100% results. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. One last call. If you're here and you're not saved, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you say, I'm a Christian, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm not living for God as I should. If I examine my life, I'm just really backslid and not at all walking with God. If that's you on either one of those accounts, I'm not going to call you out, just going to pray with you right where you're standing. If that's you, lift your hand so that I can pray for you. Right now, just lift it up high and pray for you. Thank you, I see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Say this out loud. Look up at me. You can look at me. Say this out loud. Doing this because I know what to do here. Know what the problem is. Say this, I am saved.
I am saved.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Jesus is my Lord.
And I am saved.
I
confess that I am saved. Father, forgive me for wrongdoing. I forgive myself. I confess that I'm saved. I'm in right standing with you. Jesus made me right. It's all by grace. It's not by my works. It's not because of what I did, because of what I didn't do. It's because I believe in what Jesus did for me. So I boldly confess, I am saved, I am forgiven, I am in the light, I am right with God, and it's just as if I never sinned because of what Jesus did for me. Now praise Him and thank Him for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's enough. Way too long. Do we have instructions for anybody? I can't ask Pastor John because he's ghosted us. You can go into the gym and go get your kids if you have them first. And go into the gym and enjoy. Amen. You want to pray here? Glory to God. Let's pray over our meal right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this opportunity we have to fellowship with one another around the Lord and the good things of Christ. We thank you for this food. We thank you for providing it. We give you the praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you promised to bless our bread and water and to take sickness and disease away from the midst of us. And we receive that by faith and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. We call our food blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Into the gym, and they're probably over there cooking now.